Why is it that when we think of caring for vulnerable children overseas, we automatically think of orphanages? Catherine Laffler, who's worked as a social worker and who also trains others in family-based care, says the American church needs to change its mindset when it comes to supporting orphans internationally. And she asks one striking question that will really challenge how you think about this topic. So stay tuned for this interview right after this break. Welcome to the Charisma News Podcast. You're listening to our next installment of our series called Family Changes Everything. I'm your host, Jenny Rose Spauto, Charisma News Online News Director, and I have on the phone with me today, Catherine Laffler. Now, before we get started, I just need to say she has an incredible accent. She is not from the United States, but she is, wow, I answered the phone and I was like, yes. Yes, this is happening. Love it. So we're going to be talking today about how family changes everything, and specifically within the foster care system. So Catherine, before we go any further, why don't you just say hi to our listeners?
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me.
I told you. Isn't it so beautiful? Anyway, Catherine, thank you for coming on the show today. I'm excited to talk to you and really dig deep into what it is you do with Bethany Christian Services. So before I dive deep into those questions, though, can you kind of introduce yourself to our listeners, what you do and what that kind of looks like?
Yeah, so I'm a part of Bethany Christian Services, specifically with their global department. Bethany in the U.S. for the last 75 years has been serving vulnerable children, orphans, refugees also around the world. And Bethany Global, we're a portion of that work. All of my work is in overseas, so in other countries outside of the U.S., serving children, strengthening families, and then also providing alternative care for those children who don't live in current families. So my role is to support our overseas teams. We have country officers with social workers, child welfare advocates, and my role here in Grand Rapids in Michigan is to support their work.
Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. I saw that your title was International Services Manager, and I was like, I wonder what that means. So that's very cool. So if you don't mind me asking, how did you actually get involved with this kind of work in the first place?
Yep. So I guess my accent has come out straight away in the conversation. So I'm British and I qualified as a social worker back in England and worked for Child Protective Services for a number of years. But when I made the decision with my husband to come out to the U.S., I sought out Bethany Global. So I'm a social worker. And I'm a child welfare social worker, and this position is a really great fit for me working with people from other countries. So in this role, I get to continue my social work practice, but I have that just real joy of working with people in other countries, which has been part of my passion throughout my life.
So, that's really neat.
That's who
so
I am.
Let me ask you this. I know that in the United States, we have a very robust, I feel, foster care system. But do you see other countries around the world having that same kind of foster care system?
So certainly we've set up foster care here in the U.S. in a very structured way. There are laws, court systems, policies, procedures, and a high level of structure and in the U.S. around what happens when a child becomes vulnerable here, when they can't stay in their family of origin. In the U.S., we have this structured system where professionals are making decisions, engaging with the family, and providing alternative care. So to generalize and say other countries don't have that, I couldn't possibly say, but some of the countries
right.
that we are focusing in are countries where there has not been historically a need for a structured level of system, and that it hasn't been implemented in the same way. So a lot of the countries I work with have a sort of an informal process within extended family or within kin or within clan, whereby if a child becomes vulnerable, other adults will step in and care. And historically, there may not have been needed for sort of alternative private systems of regulation. Now, in the circumstances that those countries find themselves in, have it be for healthcare issues such as HIV, poverty, a number of community-based issues that have left children vulnerable. They've not been able to step in with extended family in the way they did historically. And so they're looking for more structure, more alternative families. So really what Bethany Global has been doing is bringing the knowledge of the last years in the U.S. as the system has been set up and taking that to countries, governments that have been looking for alternative ways of protecting their vulnerable children.
Okay. So what kind of countries do you guys work with?
Yeah, so Bethany Global has a country office in Haiti, Ghana, Ethiopia, Colombia, and a base in Albania. And then Bethany Global, we have a presence in around 15 countries through consultation or arrangements with other agencies or governments. So I may find myself in a situation where government's requested for us to come and do some training or consultation, or in the countries I mentioned earlier, we actually have an office presence. And one of the things I love best about our program is it's local staff running local programs. So we're not an NGO with US-based staff going over, but we use our local expertise and build staff there.
Okay, that's really fascinating. Yeah. So you said, correct me if I'm wrong, you said that you sometimes go to those countries and provide training, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So can you share of a time when you've been able to do that and you've been able to see the difference it makes?
Yeah. So one of the things that has happened in each of the countries that I'm working in is that an orphanage has become the solution for children's welfare. And so at Bethany, we know because of research that children really need the attachment, connection, and bond with an individual adult, a caregiver, a nurturer, for their social, psychological, emotional, and physical health to really be actualized. So all of the work that I do is about trying to get children back into families. And so the training that I go and do regularly is engaging government, other stakeholders, agencies that are working with orphanage-based care around what do children really need. And when I explain it from the perspective of child development, children's rights, their needs and trauma that children experience as they have to leave their family unit or as they don't have an adult bringing them up, I see sort of a change in thought process and an understanding that in an institutional environment, children are cared for by very few caregivers with limited resources, whereby in a family environment, you've got that one protective or two protective adults looking out for that child at all times, making those social and emotional connections, looking out for them for safety. You know, if you're walking home from school, your parents going to be checking, are you coming home safe? In an institutional environment, children are exposed to, at times, violence and neglect as well. So some of the trainings that I do, when we really focus on what do kids need, that changes the thought process in terms of what kind of care do they need? What kind of care provision should we be providing so that our kids do well and our societies benefit long run? Yeah.
Absolutely. So one clarifying question, how is what Bethany does in other countries different than what Bethany does in the U.S.?
So my work in each country and with the partners in each country is very different by country. So it depends on the culture, the environment, but we work in every country similarly. We engage with government and with church. The church is really critical in the work that we're doing. The church is that platform to educate the community, to support the community. It's a mechanism for engagement around families step in and care for our vulnerable children. And so we use a similar model wherever we work of church and government and Bethany partnering together. And what Bethany brings is that social work, case management, and the best practice. So training on children's needs, learning how to make assessments of families and assessments of children's needs, and then bringing that group together around what's the best provision of care that we can all provide together. So that depends on each culture, and it also depends on the needs, what vulnerabilities are happening with children in each country at any one time, which, as we all know, changes rapidly.
Right. Definitely. So I know that Bethany is known for partnering with churches specifically to find families for kids in the U.S. So I've actually talked to some people who told me how that works in prior interviews, but I'm curious, how does the local church support your work around the world?
Yeah. So let me give you the example of our work in Ethiopia. We've had a presence there for over 10 years. And at the time that we began some of our work, we were strengthening families, but also placing children internationally for adoption. And at that time, there really wasn't a word for foster care or a concept of a formalized system where children are brought in and assessed and cared for under supervision. So there was informal placement of children with extended family, but really Bethany introduced the concept of what's foster care. And we did that through the church using the biblical principles of caring for orphans and widows. And what does it look like when the church steps in for the vulnerable in our communities? And the church has that message and that engagement around, I call it faith into action, right? When we have a faith, we're called to step in to care for vulnerable children or communities. And we each have our own passions. For me, it's children and child welfare. But it's my faith that drives me and motivates me and supports me in my work. And so the churches in Ethiopia began to educate through their pastors and then into their communities about stepping in as adults, as Christians, and engaging in what can we do to better protect the children in our communities. And so we couldn't advocate for child welfare without the churches wrapping around what we do. I wouldn't want to.
Absolutely. I know that I really love when I see God's people step up to the plate and really take his word seriously and care for those who are vulnerable and in need. And I think sometimes it's easy to think of that either in terms of just in the U.S., like what we can visualize, but it's harder to have that same visualization, I can't speak today, with kids around the world because maybe the culture is different. So I really admire what you're doing, and I'm so grateful that there are Christians who are stepping up and helping you with what you're doing. I think that's amazing.
I remember a wonderful first story from one of our foster placements in Ethiopia. As a child comes out of an institution into a family, it's obviously a difficult adjustment, learning, again, what the culture of the community is and how they should behave in a home, learning to trust and understand that adults will step in and protect you.
Right.
And the foster parent came under some criticism in his community for the child's behavior in the community, maybe, is the way to explain it. And they said, why are you doing this? And he said, well, if I don't, who will?
Right.
This child needs me. This child's behaving this way because he needs a responsible adult to step in and to help him to develop trust. And that's why I'm here. And I think that has just carried throughout my career as these programs are establishing. They're not easy. There are many, many challenges to vulnerable child welfare. But as Christians, we must step in because this is our children's futures that we're thinking about and our community's future. So, yeah, I would echo what you said, that that
for
calling
sure
is strong.
It is.
And then that's what guides you to support children. Yeah.
Right. And maybe not everyone's called to be a foster parent, but everyone can help out in some way by maybe supporting a foster parent or, I think that's really cool. So I know that...
Yeah, the churches are that mechanism of emotional and social support to foster families as well.
Right.
So whilst they help to recruit and bring that energy around foster care, they're also there to step in and support as families step forward. It's a wonderful mechanism of support. I've seen churches really wrap around foster parents and the children that are coming from care into the community so that they have that religious and spiritual component to their lives that they may not have had in an institution.
Yes, because it is hard to... I've never been a foster parent, but I know people who have done foster care, and it's hard. So they really do need that support. They really do.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that Bethany has been pretty vocal about the need for the American church to support family-based care. And I'm thinking of things like foster care, adoption, and family preservation, and like you were saying before, reunification. But it's overseas instead of in orphanages. Now, why does Bethany believe family-based care is better than orphanages?
So it's based on the science of child development. There's so much research around needing for our brains to fully develop and for the neurons to connect, for us to develop socially and spiritually and emotionally. We need a connection with a primary caregiver and an adult. And that really can only come from that family relationship of an adult caring for a child. It also comes from our knowledge and extensive research about the vulnerabilities of children going into institutions. The children going into institutions are more vulnerable to trafficking. They're more vulnerable to exposure of strangers and adults who are treating them inappropriately. They don't necessarily provide for a full child's needs. So, and an institution may be an immediate solution to a crisis, a safe bed and walls, but it doesn't meet children's long-term needs. It isolates them from their community as a whole. It's very hard for them to adjust back into community as they become young adults, to understand the languages, the nuances of the relationships that we have in a community, to be successful, to access education and work. So we just really believe that for communities to be strong, children should be with families.
That makes sense. And do you think that being in families can affect a child's spiritual health as opposed to being in an orphanage?
You know, I do believe spiritual health is based on trust, you know, and you need that guidance in your spiritual development, right? We're not all born with that instant understanding of faith. It's a very, very complex thing, and we question and we doubt and we learn as we go. And when a child comes into an orphanage, it's likely because their parent has passed away or because their parent can't afford to keep them. We see many, many children abandoned in the countries that we work with because of stigma of disability, because of financial issues, because nobody's wrapping around that family unit to support them. And so then faith and spirituality and trust and care all come together in my mind.
And
so while we can't prevent disaster and we can't always prevent separation, somebody stepping in and taking care for that child in a crisis then helps for spiritual development to always then be accessible moving forward.
That makes a lot of sense. So I want to shift gears just a tiny bit and talk about our mindset, because I don't know about our listeners, but I know for me, when I think of helping children across the world, I think of orphanages instead of like families, what you were talking about. So how should churches, and even specifically in the U.S., how should we think differently about how we support orphans internationally?
So, Jenny, if I was in a crisis or if you were in a crisis and we had children, the question one of my Ethiopia staff says to me often, what would I want to happen to my child? If I was to pass away, if I was to be in a health crisis or in an urgent situation where I couldn't care, what would I want as that alternative? And I think if you or I asked ourselves that question for very long, orphanage would likely come at the very bottom of the list of our options that we would consider. So why is it that that's the primary consideration when we start to think about aid overseas? There's something tangible about that in gift giving, in seeing progress, in seeing a structure or toys or beds, but yet, would we place our child there? If I was in a crisis, I would want social services or the church to wrap around me as the adult caring for that child, try to help me to maintain my relationship with my child. And if ultimately that wasn't possible, if I wasn't able to be present for whatever reason, and we know there's many, many different reasons, then I would want to know that somebody else that would love and care for my child would be available.
And I think it's the responsibility of the American church to think about that on a global setting. No matter what the culture is of the community, children still need the same things. And children still benefit. And we can support societies in their own culture as opposed to what we might believe is a better format. I think we've been somewhat guilty of presenting this as the orphanage as this solution because that's what we might know, as opposed to the culture of the community and how they can wrap around their own children. It will look different to us, but that's okay. It doesn't have to look like what an American setup would be.
Right.
So I think our calling is to the American church to really think about children overseas in the way that we would our own and wrap around strengthening families. So Bethany's Family Preservation and Empowerment Program steps into that gap where a family is in crisis and helps them to become self-sustaining. Our foster care programs are about providing a temporary alternative. And then adoption is for those children that can't go back to birth family or that there isn't extended family to care for them. So those wraparound solutions, I think, is what we would ask the American church to continue. Child welfare is obviously at the forefront of the American church's thought process, but the care solution, in my mind, is family-based care.
That's really good. I really loved the question. Well, what helped me with my mindset the most with what you said was asking that question, what would you want to happen to your child if something were to happen to you?
Right.
That wow. I mean, that's so true. I'm not a parent right now. I'm not a parent yet, maybe one day in the future. But if I had a child, you're right. I wouldn't want them, first of all, to go into an orphanage. I would want them to be with a family who's going to love them and care for them. And I think that was really eye-opening. And I think it's eye-opening for our listeners, too. Now, for our listeners who want to get involved, they may want to show support. How can they do that?
So part of that is that mindset shift and the thought process about how do we step in for children, sharing within their church what organizations like Bethany are trying to do. Wrapping around the realignment of the financial support that might go overseas, considering how we're spending our money and where we want to support, praying for the organizations that are involved. Child welfare in our country here is very challenging work, and then also you take the situations of natural disaster and consider the social workers there. So prayer is always appreciated. And you know, our Bethany website has a lot of information about the types of work we're doing. It may be that you're invested in a particular country already and have a heart for that culture and serving the people there. So learning where our presence is and where you could step in would probably be a good first step with us. Yeah.
I love it. Thank you so much, Catherine. Before we close today, is there anything else you want to share that maybe I didn't ask you, or just something on your heart you really feel our listeners should hear today?
Oh, that's such a big question. You've probably heard the passion as we've spoken.
Yeah.
I would just want our listeners to know how much work there is to do, and that every little helps. So any small support that you feel that you can give can really impact a child's life. You started with the phrase family changes everything, and it really does. From the smallest thing in a child's life, by being with that adult, caring and protecting can really change the trajectory of what they go on to do and how they feel about themselves and can help them to develop their faith. So, you know, I would just thank the listeners for engaging in this really challenging subject, but one that I think just there's so much positive that can come and there's so much that we can do. So,
absolutely. Yeah. And it's a very important topic, I believe. So we appreciate you sharing your thoughts and your expert insight into what's going on around the world with foster care. So, Catherine, thank you for coming on the show today. I appreciate it. It's been a blast talking with you.
It was great talking with you. Thanks for your passion and support for what we're doing, too.
Of course. And listeners, be sure to tune in next time to the Charisma News Podcast.